Wake Up with Petey.
The Big Show.
3BA.
Let's shoot the breeze with Alex Center from thebigsmoke.com.au, who's in Charlotte in the good old US of A. Hello, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Is it Charlotte or Charlottesville or?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
There you go.
Yeah.
They love their NASCAR racing in Charlottesville, I can tell you that much.
I didn't know that, but that's good to know.
School's in.
That I don't understand.
Yeah, well, do some YouTubing and see how you go. Speaking of, So there's a perfect lead-in. Should YouTube be banned in the classroom, Alex Center?
So this is all about the fact that a lot of schools started to use YouTube during COVID. It was a big part of the education process for a lot of people, and students would often go and watch YouTube channels about different subjects that they were also learning. But what of course happened was that they were looking at other videos that they shouldn't be looking at, like music videos and YouTubers and what have you. So administrators are saying that one of the biggest issues they have is that a lot of the young students are really getting used to YouTube. Parents are getting frustrated with the fact that their kids are goofing off at school and going on YouTube and want the channel banned, or want it be installed so that people can't actually get onto YouTube and look at non-educational videos. But teachers don't want to do that. And some of them are saying it's a little bit of an easy way out often in terms of education and teaching. But also the other side of it is they do feel that kids are still engaged even if they're watching YouTube as well.
Yeah, I'm hearing both sides of that particular story. And we had it at home, of course. I think everyone had it at home where their kids are supposed to be doing something on YouTube and learning. But they get a little bit sidetracked, and they have. I know our kids have got their favourite YouTubers, and we keep an eye on that. But look, yeah, it's horses for courses, I reckon. So we'll see which way that one ends up going. Let's talk about dogs. They can sniff out illness. They can sniff out a lot of things, as a matter of fact. But there's another in the insect world that can also do the same thing, Alex.
Yeah, so we often think of dogs as having the ability to sniff out diseases. So often you've heard of scenarios where dogs can actually smell somebody that has cancer and identify that. But what we're also finding is that researchers have looked into insects, specifically ants. And what they've found is that ants have 4 to 5 times more odor receptors than other insects. And they're actually able to communicate with and distinguish an individual based on their scent. So in the same way as dogs can smell certain diseases, ants in this particular study were able to differentiate between human cancer cells and non-human cancer cells. And they were able to actually respond to those different mediums. So yeah, I mean, it's a pretty amazing find. Dogs are still widely used as the way of integrating scent detection into medical care, but the fact that ants can do that also is a really big find.
So we're just going to let ants climb all over our bodies, try and work out.
When you go to the doctor and you say that you're not well, he will get you to lie down and then just release ants all over you, and then that's how they'll determine what your prescription should be.
See, Alex, that for me is a nah scenario, because if ants are crawling on me, I'm flicking them off. Just as quick as they got on.
No, this is more about research than application.
Yeah, I know. Alex, let's wrap it up this morning and talk shoes in the house or not. And you've got a real discombobulation about this, because you wear them in the house and you wear them in the shower as well. But apparently wearing shoes in the house is disgusting.
Yeah, it's a tough one, because I hate having my feet touch the ground, even in my own home. So when I'm in the shower, I often wear thongs. And some people do that. But anyway, this is a study that looked into how much dirt and contaminants are in our homes, and particularly how does it get there. And most of it comes from outside blowing in, but a majority of it actually comes through shoe bottoms. So the microorganisms that are present at the bottom of a shoe are then brought into the home, and it's very difficult to get rid of. It's not as simple as just vacuuming or mopping the house. So they're finding more and more that if you're somebody who wants to, want to take their shoes off before you come into your home or their home, you're more likely to be able to have a clean space.
I think that's a very, very good idea. And I love the people who have just built a home. They go, shoes off, please, shoes off. Shoes yeah. off, don't bring your shoes in. But then 3 months later, it's all over. That's gone out the window like you wouldn't believe. Is it China where they take the shoes off as a sign of respect? Is it China or Japan, somewhere like that?
There's a number of different places, yeah. There's a number of cultures that do that.
Yeah, so they don't have the problem with the disgusting side of what's on the soles of their shoes, that's for sure. Alex, got to wrap it up. When are you back in Australia?
In May.
Righto. Look forward to that. Alex, you have fun in Charlottesville, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much. They have